I realize you may not realize it because Pastor forgot the calendars this morning. Pastor not only forgot the calendars this morning, Pastor forgot his glasses this morning. Praise the Lord. I guess I've got everything else. Praise the Lord. Amen. It just was one of those mornings. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter number 11 is where we're going to begin. And looking forward to revival. And I want to try to bring out some things here this morning that will prepare us for revival. Actually, that will prepare us to prepare for revival. Praise God. Amen. Now, oh well, I won't go there. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 11, verse number 5 this morning. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Well, I'll move on here. We'll talk about it here in a minute. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? Yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Verse number 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Praise be to our God. You can be seated again this morning. Now, a lot of times we preach verse number 13, trying to encourage those that haven't been filled with the Spirit of God to be filled with the Spirit of God. But I want to, per se, give you another thought on this. He wants everybody to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, how many's heard that old story of how you know if you're filled with the Spirit of God or not? Anybody remember that story? Oh, maybe not then. I've got an old story. Amen. This is how you know if you're full of the Holy Ghost of God. Simply when you're being pressed against the wall, all that oozes out is the love of Jesus. Woo. How many's heard that before now? Yeah, praise the Lord. How many's been pressed against the wall lately? And don't raise your hand. Well, I'm not even going to inquire of what oozed out. So now, that being said, maybe we need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe we need to get a renewing of our minds. Maybe we need to get a renewing, hallelujah, of our efforts. Praise God. I want to preach this morning on reaching for revival. Reaching for revival. And just a little prelude here. I have found over the years, and I don't even know how many years I've been pastoring now. I've been saved for 38 years. I started to say 83 years, but 38 years. I've been saved for 38 years. Amen. And in 38 years of being a Christian and serving the Lord Jesus Christ, I have found, and preaching even 2.5 years of that, preaching revivals personally myself, I have seen over these 38 years how that the majority of time people wait for revival. They're not reaching for it. Now, in the evangelistic realm, there's terminology that is shared between evangelists. I only know this because I was an evangelist for 2.5 years. There are revivals that you preach where you are dragging the load, so to speak. And the revivals where you're dragging the load is when you come to a church that did not prepare themselves for revival. And so night after night, you are dragging the people to a place they should have already been before the evangelist got there. And that's carrying the load, dragging the load. And usually in those type of revivals, you usually don't see a breakthrough till the very last night. Because you've already drug them up the hill, over the hill, down into the valley, and they are finally getting the idea that God's in the house. Woo! Hallelujah! And so what I'm after this morning is bringing you and I to a place where we are so reaching for revival, when the evangelist gets here, he's going to be in shock. Hello! For your desire for revival, my desire for revival, my longing for revival, and we are reaching for revival, we're not thinking, nor understanding, nor perceiving that the evangelist is bringing revival, because we're already reaching for revival. When he gets here, he's going to get the joy of being that evangelist and playing his part for us to lay a hold of what God's already got prepared. See, God's already prepared. How about you? Woo, hallelujah. And so we see in this story that Jesus is sharing, he's sharing a story of importunity. He is talking about prayer. He's talking about importunity. He's talking about the reality of when I play my part, God does his. Woo, hallelujah. And so I want to deal with these three things and a few other things this morning on ask, seek, knock, and then there's also even a blessing at the end, handfuls on purpose. There's my 4 points. So don't sit tight. Shake loose. Amen. We're starting slow, remember, but we're going to get hard and fast towards the end. Praise our God. In Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46, this is the story of blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, I want to reemphasize. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Hallelujah. That means he didn't know what was going on for a little while. And then all of a sudden he heard who it was. And right there was a place of decision for blind Bartimaeus. How many times do you think Jesus had passed by that way before? But this time something was different about blind Bartimaeus. Multitudes of times Jesus passed that way before. Why? Because it was on the way to Jericho. But today, something had been transpiring in blind Bartimaeus. He had been preparing for the next time Jesus passed by. He had been contemplating what he was going to do the next time Jesus passed by. Woo! Hallelujah. When I think about the Lord, woo, my. Hallelujah. God of heaven, help this pastor. How many days do we go without even thinking about God? How many days do we waste not even thinking about God? Oh, I realize we've got a tight schedule. I realize we got a lot of work to do. I realize school students, from the time they get to school to the time school's over, they're pressed for work. Hallelujah. But when I think about the Lord, hallelujah, getting God on my mind. So blind Bartimaeus, this is not the first time Jesus had passed by this way, but this is the first time Bartimaeus was going to do something about Jesus passing. Ooh, hallelujah. And so now as we move on, we find as the story goes on, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, hallelujah, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose, came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, all right, he had prepared, he had cried out, he had played his part, he asked, he worshiped, he praised, he magnified God. He lifted his voice a great deal. Praise our God. It wasn't a simple, Lord, I need help. And then he sat there and wait, was it? No. No, he was sitting, wasn't standing, but he was crying out loud. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And he was worshiping and magnifying Jesus and giving him the title he deserved. That means he had been thinking about the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, his praise was premeditated, if you will. He knew and he believed who he was. Hallelujah. And he began to proclaim that and magnify his name. And Jesus called for him. And then when he came before Jesus, Jesus again asked him, now, do you think Jesus knew that he was blind? You notice Bartimaeus didn't ask for a Cadillac. He didn't ask for a donkey. He didn't ask for a camel. He didn't ask for a house. Really, what Bartimaeus was asking was for a spiritual touch of God, so that he could worship God like he knew God wanted to be worshipped. Think about that. Because blind Bartimaeus couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't go in and engage in worship because he was blind. Whoa. So blind Bartimaeus wasn't really asking for a self-gratifying thing. He was asking for his eyesight so he could go to the house of God, if you will. Yeah. How do you know that, Brother Pepper? The scriptures doesn't really bear that out. I perceive that because by his response to when Jesus passed by this time, he had been preparing himself to meet God and preparing himself for worship of God. Ooh, hallelujah. And that's why I perceive, that's why he wanted his sight. He didn't want to be a beggar on the side of the road anymore. He wanted to be a man who could worship his God. Ooh, hallelujah, who could honor his God. You know the rest of the story. You probably know this story better than I do. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Go thy way. Where was he headed? Where was he going to go? Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hallelujah. When Jesus made this statement, ask, he that asketh shall receive. Amen. He was talking about asking on a continual basis. He was talking about importunity in all three of these areas. But what I'm here to share with us this morning, hallelujah, if you need something during the course of this revival, it is up to you to begin to pray right now. It's up to you to begin to pray and prepare right now and begin asking God to give you what you're going to need in this time of visitation that God in His grace and in His mercy is going to bring to you and I. Now's the time to prepare. Now's the time to begin to pray. Now's the time to begin to ask and ask and ask and ask and ask and ask with faith in your heart, knowing Jesus said, "He that asketh shall receiveth." Hallelujah. And so that's why blind Bartimaeus received his sight, because he had already premeditated. When Jesus came by, he was going to cry. Hallelujah. He was going to holler out. He was going to praise him. Tell him, let him know, "I believe you're the son of David. I believe you're the king." Hallelujah. And when he was bid, come. Wow. You realize you and I have already been bid, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Woo! Sometimes we don't realize that what we need is rest. Not from our labors. Rest from our turmoil inside. And having that peace of God refresh us and renew us. Reaching for revival, asking is a vital, important part of reaching for revival. In John chapter 12, verse number 20. "And there were certain Greeks among them that came to worship at the feast." I find this very, very interesting, because they couldn't go into the temple either. But they were coming to worship just outside the door. Oh. Woo. There's people just outside the door, church. They've got a desire for God, and they're only worshiping the way they know how. They're only doing what they know how. Sometimes they don't feel like they're worthy to come in those doors. Oh, wow. "But the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." Oh, wow. Oh, wow. We would see Jesus. How bad do you want to see Jesus? Hallelujah. Are you willing to stand outside the door and ask to see? Hallelujah. We would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." You want to glorify Jesus? Then have a great desire to see Him face to face. Have a desire to enter into His presence. We would see Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't come into a revival service not looking for Jesus to pass your way. Not looking for Jesus to talk with you, to fellowship with you. Don't come to revival service and let it go by without you reaching for revival of seeking Jesus. Hallelujah. Another group of men. Does anybody know another group of men that came seeking Jesus? Those wise men came from afar off, and they were looking for Jesus, the King of the Jews. Hallelujah. And so we see that asking is reaching. Seeking is reaching for revival. Praise be to our God. In Acts chapter 12, verse number 13. "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in, told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad, But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Now, you might think this is strange, but I use this portion of scripture, number one, because it had the word knocked. And Peter was knocking. And Jesus said, he that knocketh, the door shall be opened. Well, Peter knocked, but the door wasn't opened. And that's why, personally, I believe, Jesus said, knocketh. And that's why when Peter, the door wasn't open, he didn't turn around and go try another house. He just knocked more. Because that's where he wanted to be. Woo, hallelujah. Maybe you feel like the door's closed. Maybe you feel like you've been knocking. And this is how you've been knocking. You think Peter knocked the same way twice? Maybe you need to kick it up a gear and start knocking. Hallelujah, with a fervent desire for that door to be opened. Hallelujah. I mean, if you're just knocking and then hoping nobody comes to the door. Anybody ever been in that situation? Door knocking, you come up to the door, you look around, and you're really hoping nobody comes to the door. And so you tap. And then there's been some houses I know that I need that door open. And so I don't just, because nobody came the first time, and I knew they were in there because they're already turning off the television and all the stuff that's going on in there. And so I knocked louder because I wanted the door to come open. Amen. Hallelujah. A lot of times we just, because we're hoping God don't open the door because we know what we've been doing. We know what we've been thinking. We know how we've been acting. Actually, sometimes we don't even want to hear right in the house of God, Grant, do we? We just don't want to. We want to talk to people. We want to play games with people. We don't want to pay attention. Woo! Hello. Praise God. Oh, good morning. Hallelujah to the King. All right, knocking. Knocking. Now, here's another scripture. This is a sad scripture, but yet a joyous scripture. Romans chapter 3, verse number 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now here's another side of this story. You and I are to knock. But if you go read the rest of this portion of scripture in Revelation chapter 3, this is the church of Laodicea. This is the church who thought they had it all. This is the church that thought they had it under control, that they were the perfect church. And Jesus tried to reveal to them that you are so lacking, you are so wanting, you have nothing you think you have. And they're not knocking, are they? They're not knocking because they don't think they need anything from God. They think they are it. They think they're doing fine. I've got this. I've got it under control. If you have a thought pattern that you have it under control, the enemy has already infiltrated the camp. Because there ain't a one of us that have it under control. The only one that has it under control is Almighty God. And the Holy Ghost is what comes and moves in our hearts and our lives to keep us under control of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And so we see now it's moved. Jesus said, knock, and the door shall be open. Keep knocking, the door shall be open. Do not be denied, keep knocking. But we're moving into an era of time where now God has come on the scene and he's knocking. He's knocking on our heart's door. He's knocking on our mind's door. He's knocking because we are not knocking. We are not seeking. We are not asking. So now he's come on the scene and he's trying to reach out to mankind. How many's ever, started looking around and realized, nobody really wants God? A lot of people in church. really sometimes don't want God. Why would that be? Because sometimes we have our own agenda and our own wants and our own desires. And we don't want God. Because we want to do what we want to do. Oh. It's real. It's real. Oh, read Romans chapter 7. I think it's chapter 7. Read it, where Paul said that. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do. And who's going to deliver me from this mess that I'm in? I'm kind of paraphrasing it, but that's what he was saying. Who's going to deliver me from this mess that I'm in? And then he goes on, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So it's not just a mere profession that Jesus is the Christ. What he was saying is, I thank God when I surrender to Jesus Christ, I won't have this dilemma. Hallelujah. I will be an overcomer. I will walk with God when I surrender myself wholly to Jesus Christ. And so now Jesus Christ, in this hour we're living in, because they're not knocking the door down to get inside the house of God where God dwells. But the Holy Ghost is out there knocking on their heart's door. And so even if I won't ask, even if I won't seek, even if I won't knock, I'm not going to get away, because Jesus is going to come knocking on my door then. Woo! That's that grace. That's that mercy. That's that kindness. Hallelujah. And then it's promise, if anyone will open the door and hear my voice. It's not just a matter of opening the door. It's a matter of hearing my voice, of what I am trying to share with you, what I am trying to show you, what I am trying to make of you, how I'm trying to change you. Well, praise be to our God. This, hallelujah, is reaching for revival. So be of good cheer, brothers and sisters, because if you can't seem to rise up and ask, you can't seem to rise up and seek, you can't seem to rise up and knock, then Jesus Christ is going to come to you. Hallelujah. And he's going to knock on your heart's door, because there are times we get ourselves in such a fizzle. We get ourselves in such a mind frame. We get ourselves so defeated in our minds, we don't have enough umption to ask. We don't have enough umption to seek. We don't have enough umption to knock. And that's when Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to give us handholds on purpose. He's going to come and knock on our heart's door, because he knows that we are so burdened down, we are so pressed down, we are so pushed down, that he's going to come. And he did this in John chapter number 5. I'm rapidly trying to bring this to a close. In John chapter 5 is the story at the man at the pool. And Jesus Christ saw that he was there. He saw that he'd been there a long time. And he went to this man at the pool and inquired of him, asked of him. And when he heard his sob story, if you will, he never had the ability to get up and get in. When he wanted to, nobody was there to help him. Maybe this is the way it was, maybe it's not, but you know, we can get into this poor pity party of it's everybody else's fault. Well, when the water was stirred, I had no one to help me get in. Okay. I understand that. He was crippled. But I also understand there was places closer to the water. Yeah, but that's in the sunshine, and that might get hot, and I might get burned. So I'm going to sit over here in the shade and then hope maybe one day I'll get in. Woo! I think if I was wanting in that pool when that water was stirred, I'd be right on the water's brink and on the water's edge. I don't care if I was blistered by the sun. See, he just didn't have a great desire to be where he needed to be. Glory. He did not have a great desire to be where he needed to be, but yet Jesus came to him and had compassion upon him. But he still had to rise up, take up his bed, and walk. So even when Jesus comes knocking on the door, and even when we open the door, we have to hear his voice and do what he says we need to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, you realize Jesus told him, he says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" They gave him the life story. Then Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same was the Sabbath. Praise God. Hallelujah. It could happen today. You don't have to wait till next week. Amen. Hallelujah. You can reach for revival right now. You can reach for revival this very morning. Hallelujah. But we need to prepare our hearts. We need to prepare our minds. We need to be asking. We need to be seeking. We need to be knocking. Or we need to at least get a mind frame that's ready, that when Jesus comes our way, we hear what he's got to say. Wow. So as I'm closing, somebody's coming to the piano this morning, reaching for revival. If you need the baptism in the Holy Ghost, you need to start reaching for it right now. You need to start asking. You need to start seeking. You need to start knocking. You need to prepare your heart that when Jesus comes to fill you with the Holy Ghost of God, you are ready, willing, and able to do whatever he wants done. Wow. That's all it takes right there. Preparation, asking, seeking, knocking, readiness for a handful on purpose. If you need wisdom from above, hallelujah, you can have it. He will not withhold that wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. If you need knowledge of the things of God, you've got to reach for it. You've got to reach for it. If you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, you've got to reach for it. If you need healing, you've got to reach for it. If you need illumination, you need to see more clearly on spiritual matters, maybe even where your life's at, you got to reach for it. If you need renewing of your mind, you've got to reach for it. If you need a deeper revelation of Jesus Christ, you've got to reach for it. If you need opening of spiritual eyes to where you can really see the way Jesus sees, you have to reach for it. Reaching for revival. Hallelujah. It's not an option. Hallelujah. Because if you desire for God to work in your life, move in your life, have his way in your life, you're going to have to reach for it. You're going to have to ask. You're going to have to seek. You're going to have to knock. And you will have to respond in obedience when he comes to you. Praise be to our God. Praise be to God. And I'm here to encourage your heart this morning. He is coming to you. Ready or not, here he comes. Ready or not, he will visit. I want to be ready for the visitation of the Lord. I want to be ready for the revival God has in store for me. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to purpose in my heart to ask, seek, knock, in a readiness for the will of God to be accomplished, not just in revival, but in me. In me. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Father in heaven, I rejoice, Lord God, in your promises. Hallelujah. In your word, Lord, in your truths, Lord God, in your desire that you have in these last days to revive your church, Lord God, to save the lost. Oh, God of heaven, your desires have not changed. Lord God, work your works in us, oh Lord, that we can be that people. Lord God, that is pleasing in your sight and that are reaching. Reaching for you, reaching for revival, so that we can reach for the lost. Oh, praise be to our God. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to the Lord. Just lift your hands, church, unto your God, and start asking of the Lord. Start rejoicing in your salvation. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God, we praise you. We adore you for your greatness. Lord, for saving our souls, Lord, for the grace, Lord, that has abounded towards our lives. Father in heaven, we're rejoicing, Lord God, in the newness, Lord God, of your salvation, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, of your desire towards us. Praise be your holy name. Lord God, we're longing, Lord, for your will to be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven, O God, of great reality in our hearts and in our minds. Lord, of what grace and mercy you really have bestowed, Lord, upon us in these last days. As evil abounds everywhere, you have kept us. Oh, God of heaven, let that light shine into that darkness, Lord.
Praise be to our...